Okay, let's begin. Today's daf is daf Mem Gimel, and we are on Mem Beis and Mem Beis, about 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8. Eight lines up from the bottom, Esve. Esve is the eight lines up from the bottom. The Gemara is about to ask a kasha on a source brought before us. Let's remember that source. On Amud Aleph, the Gemara brought the Mishnah in Shavuos and daf Lamed Vav and Mem Beis, where the Mishnah quoted a machlokas. Look back for a moment at Mem Beis and Aleph. Let's read that Mishnah again. About 10 lines down on Tanan Hasam. Anasta Pitita is Piti, where a man comes to another man and says, "You are Ma'anez and Mefata, my daughter." That's what the Mishnah says. So he's claiming something. He's claiming something, some type of monetary payment. And he says, "No, I didn't." He's Kofar Bakol, he denies everything. He says, "You swear to me that you didn't do anything?" He says, "Yeah, I swear that I didn't do anything." And then he admits that he really was Ma'anes and he was Mefata. So the question is, the Mishnah says, quotes a machlokas there, Chayv or Pater, what? Chayv or Pater, we're not just talking about the monetary payments, we're talking about a carbon shvua. In other words, this is one of the ashamos. We say every morning in Ezel Makoman, there are five ashamos. Again, most averos get a chatas. There are five cases, not all averos, nazir and mitzora also, but there are certain averos where Torah demands an asham for various reasons. The Ramban al-Torah discusses why these specific ones get an asham, but there's one of them called asham gezelos, or also called shvuas hapikadon, meaning the case is that if I have something of yours and I deny having it and I swear that I don't have it, whether it's a pikadon of yours, whether it's just that I owe you money, some type of case that I'm stealing from you, I'm covering something up that I have of yours and I swear about it, and then I admit that really I was lying, I have to bring a carbon asham. That's called an asham gezelos. You also have to pay back the money and add a chomesh, other halachas as well. But that is asham gezelos or shvua sepikado. Either way, the halacha is though that you only have to do this to pay and to bring the carbon if what you denied is categorized as mamon. If it's called a kfiras mamon. If it's not called a kfiras mamon, it's called a kfiras something else. If it's not mamon yet, yesterday we had a discussion of knas, which we're going to get back into. So then, it might not be reach the standard of being mechayev a carbon shvua. It has to be a kfiras mamon, and not a kfiras of something else. So the Mishnah there quotes a machlokas. The Tanakhama says, you'd be chayev in that case, where there's a toveya of onis and mefate, you deny it, you'd be chayev. We'll see. This is based on the fact that because he's being toveya, bosh is a knas. Boshes and Kadas is mamonis. When you swear, I wasn't ma'anis or mefata your daughter, so then you are denying mamon, and therefore you can be chayav a carbon shvua afterwards. Mashekid, Reb Shimon says, no, your pater, she'enu mishalim knas al piyatzmo. Reb Shimon says, no, you don't pay a knas al piyatzmo, meaning modib knas pater. What we're talking about here is a case of knas. He denied a knas, and therefore it is not called a kfiras mamon, so you wouldn't be chayav a carbon shvua. Not for now, but there is a major discussion already in the Rishonim, but the Achronim really flesh it out. What is the real Mechayiv of this Shvua, of this carbon that we're talking about? Again, what are the ingredients? You have to deny owing somebody money or having their Pekadon. So is the Mechayiv more the Shvua or is it more the Gezel? Where would you categorize this? Is this an Isser in the world of Shvua or is this the Isser in the world of Gezel? You're stealing, but you're not violating unless you swear about it. But unless you swear about money, so it's somewhere in the middle. So the Achronim discuss whether this is a real issue of Mamon, Gezel, or is it an issue of Shvua. Okay, that's all the background for that Mishnah. So now we're going to ask a kasha on one of the sheets of that Mishnah. So Esrei, here we go, Mem Beis, eight lines up from the bottom. Reb Shimon Poter, She'enem Shalem Kanas Apiyatzmo. Reb Shimon held Pater in that Mishnah, again, where a Toveya comes and says, "You are mine, he's my daughter," and he denies it, and he swears that he did nothing, and then he admits, because Reb Shimon says, Pater, because really the kfira here, the denial, was about the knas, and you're only chayev, the shvua, the karban of Asham, gezelos, if you denied and swore about what's categorized as money. But if it's categorized as knas, so therefore you would be pater. But meanwhile, we're going to get back to something that we were just discussing on yesterday's daf, which was Reb Shimon Shita in the Mishnah, in the Brisa. Even if you have something called knas, is it still called knas after Beis Din says you have to pay? Or does it then change and say, no, once Beis Din says you have to pay it, then it changes to the status of mamon? That was the question yesterday. Does Reb Shimon Shita apply even after there is ha'amada b'din? fine before Hamada Bedin, where you could still admit and be potter, Moda Beknas potter, then it's a knas. But once Bezin says you have to pay, does it change status? So that was the case. The last point we made on yesterday's daf was that Reb Shimon Shita is even after Hamada Bedin, it's still called knas. So now we're going to bring a kasha on that. So Reb Shimon says, you don't pay knas al piyatzmu in that Mishnah that we quoted. Taima to lo amad bedin. So this must be only if you didn't have ha'amadas hadin yet. That's why Reb Shimon says there that you're going to be putter, because you know you could pay knas. You don't pay knas al piyatzmu. You didn't have amad bedin yet. That's why we're bringing in the issue of modi b'knas. Ha'amad bedin, but had bezdin already had ha'amadas hadin and gemardin, the mishalim al piyatzmu, where there is no longer the option of being modeh. So now, the knas, doesn't the knas turn into the status of mamon and karbet shvu and ami mechayev? So if you really hold that Reb Shimon agrees by ha'amad bedin, so then Reb Shimon should say that if a person denies a knas after ha'amad bedin, meaning, let's say a tovea comes over and says, you are ma'anis my daughter, and bezdin said you have to pay for it. Bezin was b'chayev you already. And then the person denies it and swears about it. So in that case, you should be chayev a karbet shvu according to Reb Shimon. So says the Gemara, no kasha. Reb Shimon l'devrayim d'rabbanan ka'amar l'hu. Really, Reb Shimon himself really would say you're pater even after Hamad b'din. But here he's just talking according to the shita of the Rabbanan. Lididi, according to me, Reb Shimon says, Afal gav d'amad b'din, rachmana patri mi v'kichesh. According to me, I say if a person denies a knas, it doesn't matter when. If a person denies a knas, he's never going to be chayiv a karban asham in this case. It always retains its inherent status as knas. Based on the pasuk we wrote yesterday on the bottom of Amun Aleph, v'kichesh, it's always called a knas, and therefore it's the karban of Hashem gezelos. You're never chayiv in that case. El tzchu, but according to you, Rabbanan, odi limios, at least admit to me, hecha delo amad bedin. At least admit to me where there was no amad bedin yet. The chikatava knasa katava. If a person comes over and says you're ma'anis, you're mafata my daughter, he's claiming a knas. And if the person denies it, so he's not being kofar and mamon, he's being kofar knas, and you should not be chayiv. Umodib knas pater. So it's a knas difference. So at least admit to me there, Rabbanan. For Rabbanan Sabrino. Rabbanan say no, ki katava, boshe zubagam katava. No, and the Rabbanan say when a person comes over and is toveya that you were ma'anes or mafata, my daughter, they're claiming the boshes and the bagam, which is not a knas. You embarrass somebody, you lessen their value, so therefore that's mamon. And that's what he's being kofar when he denies it. So, but Mike Mifliki, what's this machlokas about? Reb Shimon and the Rabbanan. So he's saying he's denying knas, he's boshes and bagam. Isn't it both? When a person comes over and is toveya, he's really toveya all of these payments. So the Gemara says, no. Amar Papa, this is what the machlokas is about. They're each really claiming the ikaron one payment. Reb Shimon Savar, what is their das? Lo shavik inish midi dekayitz, v'tava midi delokayitz. If there are two payments that you are owed, one a definite amount and one a non-definite amount, you're always focused on the definite amount. That's what your mind is. You know you're getting this amount of money. So here, where he knows the knas is chamishim kasev, and the other has to be evaluated, so his das, says Reb Shimon, is on the knas. And therefore, that's what he has in mind. So when the denial occurs, that's what the denial is about also. And that's why you're going to be putter from the karbon. Rabbanan savri lo shavik inish midi techimo debe lo miftar, v'tavi midi techimo debe miftar. The Rabbanan say, no. You always are toveya the payment that is more probable that you'll be able to get. If there's a payment that, you know, a person could get out of if they wanted to, they could be moda, so that's not what you're focusing on. You're focusing on the payment that you could for sure get where the guy can't get out of, where there's no possibility of moda b'knas bifta. And the Avnei Miluim explains, in Simen Sadik Vav, that the machlokas here is about what's the ikker payment? What's the ikker tviya here? The ikker, they both want, obviously, all the payments. But it's defined, the tviya is defined, and the ultimate denial, the kfir, is defined as what the ikker tviya is. Is b'ikaron the person asking for the knas? Is b'ikaron the person asking for the boshes of agam, which would be money? So that's the machlokes, end of that sugya. Just one other ha'ara that the Ramban has, an important ha'ara in Masechta Shavuos. The Ramban in Shavuos and Daf Lamed Vav says, 1 minute. What the guy say? Whatever the toveya was, whether what do we say is machlok is about what he's being toveya, the knas or the boshes of begam, it's the rabban. But what did the guy answer? I did not rape your daughter. I was not ma'anis. So doesn't the denial include everything? It'll include everything. He said, I was ma'amane. So forget what he was being toveya, what the toveya is interested in more. Lamaisa, what does it say? Lo anasti v'lo patiti. So who cares about the toveya? You discover. The Rabban even says, let's say there was no toveya. Let's say there was no toveya. The guy just comes to court and claims. Maybe he knows that the guy's gonna come get him. Says the Rabban, by a shvuah sefikadon, by this context, you don't even need a tviya. You don't even need a tviya to be chayav a karbon. Let's say he just denies it, mammon out of the blue. So if he denies mammon, he's chayav the karbon. You don't even need the toveya. What, so because there's a toveya that's focusing on the knas, it's worse? Does that make it worse? Says the Rabban? Yes. Yes. If there's a toveya, it makes it worse. V'lo kasha. Even though if people come to Bezin and says, oh, I didn't do anything, he'd be chayiv, because then we would say he's also denying the boshes and the begam. But im ta'ano halo knas, but according to Reb Shimon here, if the tvi is really on the knas, and he says lo anasti, we could say, we can interpret lo anasti to mean, I didn't do what you want. I'm kofir what you're asking, but it's not talking about the whole act. K'dei lichbar knasu nishpa. If you look on a boshes of begam, shemayamode tchiton leiv a kofar amayka toin leiv kofar. He's only, even though it sounds like he's denying everything, I wasn't ma'anes, I wasn't mafate, but really his kfira really only lines up with a tviya, and therefore in a chinam, he says the Ramban, if there's a tviya, it's worse in this case than if there is no tviya. Period. End of that discussion. New sugya. Sixth line. Boy mine Rabbi Yavina Merav Sheshes. Sugi is brought here because we're related to our Mishnah at the beginning of the parak. So boy mine Rabbi Yavina Merav Sheshes. Basa nizonis mena achin ma'asa yadeh alami. A father dies. And now a daughter is getting mizonos, is getting sustenance from the brothers. Why? This is a Tanai Ksuba. Look at the third line in Rashi. Shekachu Tanai Ksuba v'pirkin. Later on, we're going to have this. There are many Tanaim conditions written in the Ksuba. Obligations of the husband and the husband's assets. Husband of the chasim. Benan nukvon dievin l'chiminoi. I'm reading Rashi. The female children, dievin l'chiminoi, that you have from me, inun yahon yasun bevesi, they will sit in my house, umisim inachasai, and they can get fed from my nachasim, adatil kachan l'guvrin, until they get married. They get married. That's a Tanai Ksuba. That's written in the Ksuba. That the female children will be able to get mizonos from the assets. So the Gemara asks, fine, we know that's a Tanai Ksuba, that the daughter gets mizonos from the brothers. But ma'asi yadeh halami. During this time, what about her ma'asi yadayim? Meaning all this that she produces, the money that she makes, her earnings. Does she get her earnings, or does her earnings go to the brothers? Ma'asi yadeh halami. Why? I'm sorry? Is she, let's say she is a Nara. Let's say she's a Nara. So ma'asi yadeh halami, I think. Right, ma'asi yadeh halami. I don't think it's limited to katnus. We'll see later. So says the Gemara. But makum av kaimi. Do we say that the brothers are really, say something here? But makam av kaimi, do we say that the brothers are really stand-ins of the father? And mahasa masya de la'av, just like when the father's alive, he gets her earnings. Hachanami masya de la'achin. I'm pretty sure it's Naras also. Masya de la'achin. So here too, masya de la'achin should go to the brothers. If the brothers are stand-ins of the father, so just like when the father's alive, he gets earnings, because we're going to see that also is part of the agreement, which we'll see later on. Again, later in this parak talks all about the Tanoi Ksuba and the rights of the father. So just like Maisi Adayim go to the father, so too it should go to the brothers. O Dilma Lo Damilav. Or should we say no? The brothers are not exactly the same as the father. Hasam Mididei Mitzvah. Over there by the father, he is feeding her, so it's right that he should get some of her earnings if he's taking care of her. So Hakalam Mididei Mitzvah. The brothers aren't giving her anything. She's getting from the estate. The estate that used to come from the father. And therefore, maybe her earnings should not go to the brothers. Tosis points out in Dibur Maschil Bas that this whole suffix is only on a Darabanan level. Midaraisa, for sure, nothing should go to the brothers. Midaraisa, pshita le'davil atzma, goes to her. As we learned based on a pasuk later on, the question is Midarabanan. Midarabanan, do we say that they take place to the brothers? Why would we say that? What's Midarabanan? Why would we make such a takana? So the Pnei Yeshua says here that it's not really a takana, it's just a question of the umdana. What do we assume the father had in mind when he wrote the ksuba? Fine, when he wrote the Ksuba, he had in mind that during his lifetime, the Ma'isi Adayim should go to himself. But the question is, what about after his lifetime? What's his Umdana? V'chein nirel ani es daiti, says the Pnei Yeshua, v'ikir hi baya b'may dekamar b'makam av kaimi, haino mishum, d'mistamam ashakosei p'tanai bezdim, mizonos labito, haino shidinu la'alach armoso. Fine, we know the mizonos aspect, the Umdana is that he wants his daughter to get it even afterwards. That's a Tanai Ksuba. But the question is, does he have in mind to weaken his Yershin status or not? It's really about the Umdana of what was in his mind. That's the question the Gemara says, according to the Pnei Yeshua. What's the Umdana? So that's the question of the Gemara. Do the earnings of the daughter, we're going to prove from our Mishnah, that's why this is brought up here, do the earnings of the daughter go to the brothers after the father dies, or does she keep them? That is Abdullah, she's her own person. Right, well, maybe not Me'ikr Hadin. Me'ikr that she might not get. Reb Moshe, we'll get to it later on again, we'll mention it, but Reb Moshe has a tshuva that Bizman Hazeh, a lot of these ages are pushed up because people don't leave the house so early. Okay, so says the Gemara, do the Ma'aseh Yadayim go to the brothers or not? So I'm going to let any Tua. We learned it in the Mishnah. Which Mishnah later on? In Perak Amon and Nizonis. Right? Perak and Tzadok and Mabez. Amon and Nizonis B'nichse Yisomim Ma'aseh Yadayim Shalahen. The Mishnah says that an Amana, a widow, gets fed from the estate, from the Nechse Yisomim, and her earnings go to them also. That since all the money, their estate, they're in charge of the estate, the Yarshim, right? Children Yarshim, the father, not the wife. So the children Yarshim, the father, so since they are supporting her, so they are entitled to some of her earnings. So just like says the Mishnah, by a widow, doesn't the same thing apply by the daughter? So shouldn't there be a difference between the widow and the daughter? So if the earnings of the widow go to the brothers, so too the earnings of the daughter. So the Gemara says, "Mi'itami, who says almanaso lo nichale barvacha?" A widow, the original father has no specific intention that she should have more than she needs. Whatever she needs, fine, but not more than she needs. So maybe once she's supported, once she gets enough sustenance from the estate, so the rest, the earnings should go to the brothers, his yarshim. Bito nichle barvacha. But a daughter, the father wants to have even more, even extra. So what, she gets sustenance. She should be able to keep her earnings. So there's no raya from almana to bito. Maybe there are different rules. Maybe there's differences in the mind of the father between his widow and his daughter. Says the Gemara Lomemra de Bito Adifale Miyamanaso. Is that to say that daughters, the original husband slash father, is more concerned about his daughter than about his wife, than about his widow? What do you mean? V'amar Rabbi Amar Rav Yosi. We have another context where it seems to tell us that he's more concerned about his widow than about his daughter. Asu almana eitzel habas, kibas eitzel ache b'dechasin muatim. We know there's a mitzvah d'oraisa called Yerusha. Right, Yerusha, Maseches Bava Basra, the 8th parak, talks all about Dina Yerusha, the order of Yerusha, and who gets first in Yerusha. But there are some cases, says the Gemara now, quoting from Bava Basra, that Chazal were oker the mitzvah of Yerusha. They were oker it for a greater good. Chazal have that power, to be oker a mitzvah b'shev al tasa. So the Chazal were oker a mitzvah if there's very little possessions. And we know daughters don't get Yerusha, but makam sons. Big question, what happens with Zman Hazeh? If somebody wants to give, you know, split it up equally. There are certain documents that one can fill out, called the Shtar Chatzi Zachar. But says the Gemara, Me'ikir Adin, the daughters don't get. So what if there's very little possessions? So the halacha is that the Rabbanan say that we could be oker the mitzvah of Yerusha in the case of Nechasim Mu'atim, in the case of small, minimal properties. And the widow, in that case, is to a daughter as a daughter is to brothers. What does that mean? So the Gemara explains. Ma habas eitzel achin, habas dizonis va'achin shel apsachim. Just like if there's just children, there's sons and daughters. The daughters, if there's only a few, not so many possessions, the daughters get fed and the brothers have to go beg. You're not going to make the daughters, the girls, go out and beg. So there's only minimal possessions, the girls get them. Ah, Yerusha, don't the boys get it? Tough luck. The Chazal were oker. They uprooted the mitzvah of Yerusha in this context. And the girls, just like in that case, with his daughters and brothers, the daughters get and the sons do not get. They have to go beg. So af almana eitzel habas. So too if it's just a widow and girls and daughters. So again, the almana nidon is habas tishal apsachim. If it's a choice between the widow and the daughters, the widow gets and the daughters have to go and beg. But what do you see from here? you see that it seems that there's more concern for the widow. That if there's a choice between widow and the girls, that the widow gets at home and the daughters have to go out and beg. So how could the Gemara earlier just say that he's more concerned with his daughter than his almana? Here we see the opposite. So the Gemara says, no, there's a difference. Le'inyin zilusa almanaso adifale. In terms of being zilzal, in terms of going out and having to beg, he's more concerned about his wife, slash widow. He doesn't want her to have to go out and beg. Le'inyin harvacha bito adifale. But in terms of having extra possessions, his daughter he wants more. His daughter is his blood relative and it's his next of kin, and therefore he'd rather have his daughter have extra than his wife, but in terms of being mizulzal, he's more concerned with his wife than his daughter. Period. What does it mean to chasim muatim? What does it mean not so many possessions? You know, how minimal are we talking about? So that's a machlokas between Rashi and Tosfos. It's really machlokas amorom and babasra. Rashi here says enough for 12 months, enough for a year. Nachasim Watam Rashi says, She'ein bohen kidei parnasa shnei masar chodesh. You have to have enough of parnasa for a year. If you don't have parnasa for a year, that's considered small, and then Hilchas Yerusha don't apply, because you have to take care of the situation right in front of you. Tosfos says, no. Tosfos says even more elokula. If you don't have enough possessions to support them until they become bogaris, 12 and a half. So that might be even more, depending how old they are. That's Tosfos Yibur Maskal Asu. He talks about Atshe Yivgaru, until they Shibagru, until they become Bulgaris. So Machlokas, they're in the Gemara, but Rashi and Tosfos here are taking stands of who they hold. Okay. Period. So now we get into why we brought this here. We're going to quote our Mishnah. Masav Rav Yosef, Asakasha. Again, what's the issue we're talking about? Trying to prove the original issue. Daughters, a father died. Daughters are getting mizonos. That's a Tanaik Suba. Daughters get sustained by the estate, even though they don't get Yerusha. The Tanaik Suba, they get mizonos. Do their earnings go to the brothers, or do they get to keep them? That's the question of the Gemara. Their earnings, their Maisi Adayim. Do the brothers get to keep them, or do they get it? Or does she get it herself? So, Masar Rav Yosef, you can prove it from our Mishnah. Yesterday, the first Mishnah of the Perek. Maisi Adayim Mitziyasa. Her earnings, what did the Mishnah say? Her Maisi Adayim and her Mitzios, things that she found, which we'll explain a little later, Afal Pishlo Gafsa, even though they weren't collected yet, meaning let's say she earned something and then her father died. So then Mesav, Hariyin Shalachin. In a case where the father then dies, the brothers get it. Why? Remember the Mishnah was talking about what happens before the father dies, after the father dies, before or after she becomes a Bulgaris, all the cases that the Mishnah had yesterday. So says the Mishnah, if she earns something before the father dies, the father is entitled to the earnings. And then the father dies, she didn't collect it yet, then it goes to the brothers. Why? Because the brothers yarshin the schus that the father had in these earnings. So says the Gemara, Taima de Bechaya Ha'av. So let's be medayik that when do we say earnings, her earnings go to the brothers? That's only if she earned them when the father was alive. That's the case of the Mishnah. But let's say she earned something after the father died. Shouldn't we be mashma that would go to her? The Mishnah says only earnings that she earned while the father was alive. Do we say that goes to the brothers? But if it was after the father died, so maybe it should go to her. So, my labanizonis, and aren't we talking about a normal case in our Mishnah, where she's getting mizonos? She's getting mizonos after the father dies, and therefore her maisi adayim, or medayig, should go to herself and not the brothers. So, where it says, lo, but she ain't a nizonis. No, the Mishnah's about a case where she's not going to get any mizonos. They're not giving her mizonos for some reason. They're going against the Tanaik Suba. For some reason, they're not giving her mizonos. That's why her earnings stay to herself. So, says the Gemara, then what's the chiddush then? They're not supporting her, so there's a chiddush that her own support she doesn't get to keep? Of course. Ibish in Mizonos, if she's not getting Mizonos, my love Hamra, then what's the Chiddush? Afilu Lamanda Amar, even if you want to tell me that there's an opinion out there that says, Yochal Harav Lomer Le'Evet Asei Mivein Izancha, even if you want to say there's an opinion out there that says that a master could tell a servant, I'm not feeding you, and you got to earn for me a certain amount, and the rest you could take care of. I mean, even if you can have such an attitude, which we're not going to get into why that is, by an Eved, Hani Mili Be'Eved Kenani, Delok Siv Be'imach, that's only by an Eved Kenani, a half non-Jewish slave, that, where it doesn't say a special pasuk, Imach, that they're supposed to be with you. Aval Eved Ivri, but even by an Eved Ivri, a Jewish servant, Dechsiv Be'imach, where it says Imach Lo, you can't do that. You can't say, I'm not giving you Mazonos, and you have to give me your Maisi Adayim. You can't say that even by an Eved Ivri. Kol Shekein Bito, surely by a Basi Yisrael, by your daughter, you can't say that. Then what's the Chiddush? If our Mishnah is talking about a case where the brothers are not giving the sisters Mazonos, of course their earnings stay to the daughter. Of course the earnings wouldn't go to the brothers. What would be the Chiddush of the Mishnah then? So the Gemara says, "Amar Abba Bar Ula Lo Nisuch El Ola Hadafa." There's still a chiddush. There's still a chiddush. Hadafa. What does that mean? Of course, she gets to keep her earnings that she needs to live with. But what about anything extra? Let's say she wins the lottery. Let's say she makes more than she needs. So then maybe you would have thought, "Hey, her earnings when the father's alive goes to the father. So maybe the brothers are stand-ins." At least for what's extra. You're right, what she needs, of course not. But maybe what's extra, that's the chiddush of our Mishnah. So what do we have? We tried to bring a raya from our Mishnah, and we said the raya is no raya. So says the Gemara, Amar Rava, Gavra Rabba Kerev Yosef, Lo Yada Deika Hadafa V'Gamosef Tiyufta? I don't understand, says Rava. Rav Yosef is an unbelievable person. He would have known this idea that you could have answered Hadafa. You could have answered it's going on the extra. How could he even suggest that this could have been a kasha? How could he have even suggested it? Of course, you could have given the pshat of hadafa. So Ella Amar Rava, so Rava says, really, we missed the boat. Rav Yosef Masis and Gufa Kasha. Rav Yosef was not bringing our Mishnah as a kasha to anybody, as a raya to anybody. He was just bothered about pshat in our Mishnah. Rav Yosef did it on the same shot in our Mishnah. Rav Yosef, we had yesterday, right, the 22 years, Rav Yosef and Rava, right, so Rav Yosef was just bothered. What's shot in our Mishnah? What does our Mishnah say? Maisi yadeo misiyasa ava bishalo gavsa. What does our Mishnah say? Earnings, let's say she earns something and then the father dies. And she didn't get paid yet. So those earnings go to the brothers. Fine. But what's the other thing the Mishnah says? Mitsiyasa. Things that she found. What does that mean? Things that she found she didn't collect yet? What does that mean? I mean, she finds something. It's hers. So what do you mean she didn't get it yet? She finds it. So what does the Mishnah mean? That's what Rav Yosef was bothered by. Shlo gavsa, mitziyasa miman gavya. What does it mean in the Mishnah? That something that she found that she didn't get yet, you know, that goes to the brothers. What do you mean she didn't get it yet? If she found it, she found it. If she didn't, she didn't. So what is the Mishnah talking about? We know during the father's lifetime, the mitzios, her mitzios go to him. But what about afterwards? But what's the mitzias of the case? So this what must be pshat of the Mishnah. Maisi yadea ki mitziyasa. You're right, it's not talking about mitziyasa, it's just giving a comparison. Her earnings are like things that she finds. Ma mitziyasa b'chayi ha'av la'av la'achar mitzias ha'av la'atzma. Just like mitziyasa, what she finds in the father's lifetime goes to the father. Again, we're going to have later on in the perek all the things that the responsibilities of the father to his young children, and because he has responsibilities, Chazal are misaking certain things that he gets in return. So we're going to get to all of that later on from Daf Mem Vav, Mem Zayin, Mem Ches. All of those Daf, I'm going to talk about these items. So just we're going to learn about Mitzia. So her things that she finds while the father's alive goes to the father. La'achar mitzias av la'atzma. After the father dies, goes to herself. Saf Masia Danami. So to her earnings. B'chaya av la'av. La'achar mitzias av la'atzma. Shma mina. So that's what the Mishnah meant to say, to compare it to Mitzia. And therefore, what's the answer to our original question? Her Maisi Adayim go to herself, just like Mitzia, period. Why does Mitzia go to the father during her lifetime? So Rashi here says, Mishum Eva, five lines up from where they get wide. Mishum Eva, why? Because, Me'ikir Adin, Dekivet De'enachai B'mezonoseh B'chayah, we're going to learn later on, as the daughter gets older, the father, Me'ikir Adin, does not have to give her mezonos. But we like him to, so because we like him to, so that's why we try to give him things to balance it out, that he's getting things, so therefore he will pay anyway. Remember, I just alluded to before, Ramosha has a tshuva that Bizman Hazeh, the ages are much higher than the time, the Gemara, that's 6-7 years old already, you finished with your obligation, and then after that, it's just out of the goodness of your heart. Ramosha says, Bizman Hazeh, 16, 17, 18, children stay in the house much longer, and therefore the obligation will change based on the societal accepted by society. But either way, Rashi says there's an issue of Eva here because he doesn't have to give her mezonos, so therefore he's going to get the Mitzvah. Tosfos says a different pshat. Not Tosfos here. Tosfos on the top of Daf Mem Zayin, Amud Aleph, the top Tosfos. Tosfos says maybe it's because he's allowed to be mekadisher to anyone he wants, so we want to keep him in a good you know, in a good positive feelings for this daughter, so he'll find the best possible chasan for her, and therefore, that's why he would get the mitzia. Okay, period. There's a Rishash here. The Rishash says, what was the Gemara's question? What does mitzia mean in the Mishnah? You can never have a case of a mitzia that she found that she's owed that she didn't get yet. Says the Rishash, I can come up with a case. Come up with a case. What if she found something, but there's a din Torah? There's a din Torah about it. Somebody else said that they found it first. There's a machlokas about a watch. She says, I found it. Maybe she was about to pick it up, right? Kinyan Dalet Amos, and then somebody else swooped in to get it. So maybe that's the case. During the father's lifetime, like this argument started, the father dies, and then after the father dies, Bezin awards it to her. You're right, it's really yours. Maybe that's a case of mitzia that she is owed that she only gets after the father dies. Why didn't the Gemara suggest that? So what would you say? Why wouldn't the Gemara suggest a case? Isn't that a case that she's owed something, she gets it afterwards? Said the Rosh Hashanah, no, that's not a case of being owed.
It was hers.
What?
It was hers.
Oh, exactly. That's a gilui. It's a gilui milsa. It was always hers. That's not something that, what, earnings. She earned something and now she's owed it and she gets it afterwards. Okay, that's an ode. When Bezin says it's yours, that means you were the one that found it originally. That's not fulfilling an obligation. That's being megala, something that wasn't clear and therefore it was always hers. So that wouldn't be an example of something owed after the father dies. Or another example would be, he says, what about, this discussion at the beginning about mitzia, hamagbia mitzia lachaveiro. Right, what if I see something on the floor and I say, you know what, my friend would love that. I'm going to pick that up for them. So maybe that's the case. Somebody picked it up for the girl and she didn't get it until afterwards. So again, the Rishah says, that wouldn't be a case of owed. That person was acting in lieu of her. It's as if she picked it up. So again, that wouldn't be a good example of being owed a mitzia. That's why the Gemara just throws up his hands and says, it must be that mitzia doesn't literally mean mitzia. Okay, period. Itmar Nami. It manami says the Gemara. I'm Rav Yehuda Marav Bas and Izonis Minaach and Masi Adela Atzma. Again, the Ibai that we had before, we answered a daughter that gets Mizonis from the brothers. She keeps her Masi Adayim. I'm Rav Kana my time up. But now we bring a pasuk. What's the pasuk? The Chsiv the pasuk says this Nachaltem Osam Livnechem Achreichem. You shall give your Avadim Kinaanim. An Eved Kinaani passes from father to son. It's an Eved Kenani. It's Nachatam Osam, them. In Eved Kenani, you will pass to your sons after you. Osam Livnechem. In Eved Kenani, you will pass to your sons. Below Benosechem Livnechem. You will not pass your daughters, or, meaning, the Zechusim you have in your daughters to your sons. Meaning, there will be Zechusim that the father has that the sons do not have. Magid, this teaches me, She'ein Adam Moriz Chuspito Libano. A person does not Yarshin, the Zechuyos that he has in his daughter to his sons. Period. So that's the drasha, that's the pasuk we learned it from. So Maskev Rabba says, 1 minute. There's not going to be an answer to this maskev. Rabba's just going to say, I don't think that pasuk is a good raya. Maybe we pasuk in that way, but the pasuk is not a good raya. Why? Because the pasuk, what did the pasuk say? You could yarshin and have a kinani to your children, but not the zechuyos you have in your daughter. Maybe that pasuk is limited. The aim of a pitui habas v'knasos v'chavalos akas medaber. Maybe the pasuk is only referring to cases of knasos that the daughter generated. That's going to go to the father. Maybe that's all the father. Like we had the principle. Ein adam morish knas libno. But maybe it's limited to knasos, but maybe by real mamonis, zechuyos, maybe that would be able to be yarshin. V'chein tan Rabbi Chanina, b'pitui habas v'knasos v'chavalos akas medaber. Maybe that's what the pasuk is referring to. Right? Rashi explains, third to last line, maybe by regular knasos, something that's shchiach, v'chashi bei mamona, if something is common and would cause a loss to the brothers, so maybe that would be included in the pasuk. Wouldn't it be excluded? The pasuk is only excluding fines, extra things you don't yarshin. But maybe things that are common, midi deshchiach and chasri bei mamon, as Rashi says, they would be included. So therefore, there is no raya from this pasuk that zechuyos of the father would be excluded. The Gemara just says has a side point though, where the Gemara gave a whole list of knasos here, pitoi knas and knasos and chavalos. And the Gemara says the pasuk excluded that the father would get them. So Gemara says, 1 minute, chavalos? Tzara de gufa ninu. If somebody's chovel wounds the daughter, of course the daughter's going to get that payment. It's her goof. It's her goof. You have to go out of the way with a pusik, the father doesn't get it. Of course the daughter's going to get that payment. It's like, how did that affect the father? So Rabbi Yossi bar Chanina, no, there is a way that it can affect the father. Shepatza befanel. Maybe there was a wound on the face. there's a wound on the face, so then she goes down in value in terms of the amount that the father could sell her as an Ame Evriya. So there is a case of Chavala that could accept the father, that could affect the father. But Chavalos is Sarah Degufa. So therefore, by Chaval, we focused on Oni Simafate, which is a Nezek Tzad, there's Nezek. Nezek Tzad, Ribishav, and Boshas. Chavala, wounding might be different. Wounding. Saying that wasn't a regular case of wounding. That was a case of onis mafata. There is a chavala that takes place there, as we discussed at the beginning of the Masechta, right? Mifka pakin chiburi mechbar. But that's the Gemara here comes up with a case that even affects the father. Next, period. Amar Rav Zeira, Amar Rav Masa, Amar Rav. The Amila Amar Rav Zeira, Amar Masa, Amar Rav. Right? Machlokas, who said it? What's the difference between these two memers? What's the difference? Right? If sometimes you just go through names, you don't focus on it. What's the difference between these two? Rav Zeira and Rebbe Zeira. So Rashi says the same person. Rashi says it depends if he went up to Eretz Yisrael or not. The machlokas when he said this, right? We know the rabbanim of Eretz Yisrael, the Tanaim of Eretz Yisrael, who got smicha were called Rebbe most of the time, and those from Bava were called Rav. Rebbe signifies you got smicha, so there was only smicha in Eretz Yisrael. So that's why a Rebbe and Reb Zeira went to Eretz Yisrael in the middle of his life. We're going to have later on. We're going to have a famous Gemara later on where Reb Zeira wanted to make Aliyah and one of his Rebbeim didn't want him to. All the way at the end of the Masechta is going to come up. Reb Zeira went to Eretz Yisrael. So the two deos here are whether this was before or after Reb Zeira went and got smicha. Rav Zeira or Rebbe Zeira. Tosfos and Menachos on Daf Mem Amabei says no, there were two different people. There was a Rebbe Zeira and there was a Rav Zeira. Okay, either way, yeah? Every Tana is Rebbe, Eretz Yisrael. If it was Eretz Yisrael, there's no Rav in the Mishnah. No Rav in the Mishnah. Okay, so says the Gemara. So either way, Rebbe Zeira or Rav Zeira. Sumchis is not a Rav, right? Sumchis is just a Benanas, right? Okay. Bas Hanizonis min ha'achin ma'asa yadeh ha'la'atzma. So he says, a daughter, just like we said before, a daughter who gets mizonas from the brothers, ma'isi yadayim, go to herself. Same thing we said before. Amalei avimi bar papi shkod amra. Avimi bar papi says, you know who said this? Shkod said it. Who shkod? Shkod ma'anu, who shkod? Somebody's nickname. Shmuel's nickname. What is shkod? Shkida. Shkida is translated as diligence. That's how you pronounce the diligence, right? I remember in elementary school we had the Shkida Award, right? Who got the Shkida Award? There's a Smada Award and the Shkida Award. So Shkida, so that's what he nicknamed him Shkod. So who is the Shkod Shmuel? So we said, what does it mean? Harav Amra. We just quoted this in the name of Rav. What do you mean Shmuel? The Shkod said it. Ema Av Shkod Amra. It means no, Shmuel also said this. Shmuel also said this. Amar Mar Bar Amei Malar of Ashi, Hachi Amin Ardoi, Hilchos HaKavasi Rav Sheshes, who said that the brothers do get it. Rav Ashi Amar Hilchos HaKavasi Rav, Hilchos HaKavasi Rav. Halacha is like Rav, that the Ma'isi Yadayim are La'atzma. Again, we brought up this whole last 25 lines because we try to bring it right from our Mishnah. Really, it has to do with what we're going to get to later in the Perek. The rule was, the Maskana, that after a father dies, the daughters, the girls, have to get supported from the estate, yet their earnings, they're allowed to keep themselves. Right? That was the maskana of the Gemara. Period. Next mission. Hama'aris as bito v'girsha. Person is ma'aris, his daughter, as the Torah gives the rights to, right? Kiddushe ketana. As we know, a girl could get married in two different ways. Mida araisa, either through her own acceptance of kiddushin, or her father on her behalf. Hama'aris as bito v'girsha. And then she gets divorced. There was erisin. There was no nisuin. Let's say there was erisin, and then she gets divorced. Erisa Vinis Armala. And let's say, again, she got engaged to somebody else. Husband number two. And then she gets Nisarmala. Then the husband dies. So what's that? Lacha Ksubasa Shalom. In both these cases, says the Mishnah, the Ksuba money that the daughter is entitled to is going to go to the father. Again, that's what this whole parak is going to be about. Rights of the father in the rights and responsibilities of the father in terms of his young daughter. So here says the Gemara, if the daughter had Erisin Vigirsha and then Erisin and his Armala, he gets it. Why? Because Gemara is assuming, because Erisin does not take her out of the Rishus of the father. Nisuin does, as we'll see in a minute, but Erisin does not, and therefore the Ksuba that the girl is entitled to, just like he accepts the, just like he married her off, he accepts her Ksuba money. we're going to get to. The chi of ksuba might not kick in till nisuin, but one of two things. Rashi here says, this is according to the opinion that says that there is ksuba for an arusa. That's Rashi's opinion here. Or the Meiri here says that he did. He wrote her one, mishas ksuba, mishas erison. He wrote her, mishas erison, not that he had to, but he did it anyway. We're going to get back to that Meiri in a second. But this is the case, that Arison does not ruin the rights of the Ksuba, the rights of the father to the Ksuba. The Gemara, as we said, this whole parak is going to tell you, give us Makoros and Svaras, why the father gets certain things. It's amazing that there is no Makar brought for this halacha. There is no Makar brought for this halacha that the father is entitled to the Ksuba payments after Arison. So what is the makar? So there are three shitas given in the Mefarshim. The Meiri here says, it's like earnings. Ma'asei Yadayim. Just like Ma'asei Yadayim go to the father, so too the ksuba goes to the father. The Tosas Rid says, no, it goes with Kiddushin. Just like the father can be Mekadesh her, so too the father accepts her ksuba. So that's number two. That was the Tosas Rid. Number three, the Pnei Yeshua here says that maybe because we've had it earlier in the parak, that some makoros of ksuba, where's ksuba in the Torah? Where's the hint of ksuba in the Torah? We have back on Daf Yud. Moar Absulos. Shezekah Moar Absulos. Moar, that's the hint of Ksuba. So that's about Onei Simafata. That's by Knas. So it says the Pnei Yeshua, that's the Makar. Just like Knas goes to the father, so to Ksuba, the remez of Ksuba in the Torah, according to the Mand Amar, Ksuba Daraisa, is by Knas, and therefore Ksuba also goes to the father. Three different Makoros. How do you know Ksuba goes to the father? Let's just finish the Mishnah, then I'll say something else. He see of a Girsha, he see of an Isarmala, but let's say there was Nisuin that took place. If Nisuin took place, then Ksubasa Shalah. Then she gets her own Ksuba, because Nisuin cuts her off from her father, and therefore she gets her own Ksuba payment. Rabbi Yehuda Omer, no, Harishona Shalah. Even if she has Nisuin, the first Ksuba, right, what happened? She got married to somebody, that she got divorced, then she got married again, and then she became widowed. The first Ksuba goes to the father. We'll see why in the Gemara. First Ksuba goes to the father, and the second Ksuba goes to her. Amrlo, no. Mishisiyah in Leviyah Rishuspa. They say back, no. Once Nisuin takes place, then the father is out. There was, so, as Menachem asked a minute ago, we don't paskin like you have to write a Ksuba Mishas Erison. So where does this Ksuba come from? So Rashi says, according to the Manda Amar, you do need a Ksuba Mishas Erison. But the Meiri says, no, he wrote her one. So some Achronim ask from this Meiri on a sheet of the Nesivus. The Nesivus says, what about gifts that the daughter gets? Is the father entitled to gifts that the daughter gets? That's also not discussed in the Gemara. What about matana of anara? If anara gets a matana, does the father get it? Machlokas ksos in the Nesivus, in Simon Reish Ayin. So the Nesivus holds that she gets it herself. She gets her own matanas. Simon Reish Ayin. So the Achronim ask, right, Rav Shmuel Ruzovsky asks, what do you mean the Meiri here says that if he decides to write a ksuba for her, which is like a matana, then the father gets it. Zaka the Nesiva says that she gets her own matanas. It's before Shmishnah. He's writing an extra, giving her extra money, and the Mishnah says that the father gets it. So Rav Shmuel Ruzovsky says, no, it must be this isn't a regular matana. If a person's giving a matana, l'shem a ksuba, that's a different kind of matana. That's not stam matana. That's buying into the takana derabanan earlier. That's not stam giving a matana. You're right, maker. I didn't only start with shasi suin, but it must be that if you want to opt in earlier, so then you're subject to the rules of regular ksuba. So that's how you answer that it's not a regular matana in this case. Okay, next. What do you mean, marry her? So this might maybe she's an ara. Must be she's an ara. Nara's a gdola. It's after Nisuin that she's marrying herself. It's not really a hisia. It's not really a hisia. That's not a halachic hisia, because really he can't. Taima, right, it's called what Yisoma B'chai Ha'av. That's what it's called. She's an orphan in the life of her father. It says the Gemara. Taima the Yisiyah V'Girsha Yisiyah V'Nis Armala. So let's read these three lines according to Rashi. The Mishnah happens to give a case where she was married and then she got divorced and then she was married and then she became a widow. Avonis Armala Shezim Nisu Lo Chazil Insuve. Why did the Mishnah just give a case where she was widowed twice? We have to come up with a case of garishin and then widowed. So V'Yagavorcha Kasasim Lan Tana Karebi. It must be that we didn't want to say something bad. Right, like Rebbe. Why Rebbe? Da'amar, we had Rebbe twice in Maseches Yevamos. Betray Zimni Havi Chazaka. Rebbe holds that you don't need three times to make a Chazaka, only two. And therefore, if two husbands of a woman dies, she is called a Katlanis. a woman whose husbands die, either, right, the Gemara there discusses what that means, and therefore she wouldn't be able to get married again. She wouldn't be able to get married again. So we don't want to have a case of peronis in the Mishnah. So that's why this Mishnah is alluding to Shita's Rebbe. That's why it does not give the case of widowed twice. Okay. What happens if a kalonis gets married? What if a kalonis gets married? Do we make her get divorced? There's a takana drabana that a kalonis is not allowed to get married. So what about if Avrav Nisei? So the Rush here says, of course we make her get divorced. We have the principle, Chamira Sakanta Meisura. And you know, if a woman is married Be'isur, you make her get divorced. Right? A Grusha Lakohen, the peasant will do their utmost to get divorced. So Sakan is always worse. Chamira Sakanta Meisura. And therefore, for sure, Chamira Sakanta Meisura, you make her get divorced. The Rambam says no. The Rambam holds, in Parachafal, Vinichas Yisuri Bia, no, once she's married, she's married. It's a takana to help her out, but you know she'ain lahosif. The Magen Mishnah explains the Rambam she'ain lahosif al gzeira shel devarayim. We're not going to be mosif on the words of the rabbis. Elamasha amru hein beferish. That's it. Don't get married. Don't get married. Sounds like an isra lachanchila. But to say that we're going to be kofet to get divorced, no. And the Rambam and the Kesef Mishnah there quotes even a Tshuvas Rambam about this whole katlonis issue. You got to know what the Rambam would say about this katlonis issue. Says the Tshuvas Rambam, miruchach al tzad hanichush v'hapachad v'hatimahon. Right? It's like, is it really a danger here? If a person thinks it's a danger. But we're not going to make a person get divorced if they didn't think that it was a danger. And the Rambam even adds, what about somebody, and we discussed this back in Yevamos, what about if a woman becomes a Yevama twice? So we're not going to let her get married? The third time, the Rambam says, for sure, then we're going to allow them to get married. But Makam Mitzvah, Shluchei Mitzvah. So of course we're going to allow her to get married in that case, says the Rambam. But again, that's Machlokas, Rambam Rush here. What about Bidiyevet? Okay, let's continue. Rabbi Yehuda Amar, Rishon HaShalav, Rabbi Yehuda says that the first, what was the case? Remember Rabbi Yehuda's case. Even if there was Nisuin, the first Ksuba goes to the father. So my time is Rabbi Yehuda. Why? Two possibilities. Number one, Rabbi Yosef Damri Travayo, Ho Elumishas, Erisin Zacha Ben Av. No, since the father was already zoche in the ksuba from Shas Erison, when was the ksuba written? At the time of Erison, you're right. It didn't become payable until later. But since this ksuba was written in the time of Erison, so therefore the father already had schus in the first one. Masav Rava. Rava says 1 minute. Rabbi Yehuda says Arishona Shalav. We have a brisa that says fine, the first one goes to the father. But Umodir Rabbi Yehuda, Rabbi Yehuda would admit the Ma'ari says Biduk Shiktana. If a person is Ma'aris' daughter when she's a ketana, u'bagra, and then she becomes a bogeres, v'achakach nises, and nisuin only take place after bagras, she'in lav yerushuspa. In that case, if you don't admit that the father doesn't get it. Amai, why not? According to this first svara, hachanami nilei maho mishas erisin zocha ben av. The erisin took place when the girl was still in the father's rishus. So why doesn't he get the ksuba even in this case? So Eli Yidmar, Hachi Yidmar. So this is possibility number two. No, this is the svar of Rabbi Yehuda. Why does the father get the ksuba? Rabbi Rav Yossi Damit Shravayu, Hoel Uber Shuso Nichtavin. No, because it was written in his Rishus. It's written right before Nisuin. So in the case of the Brisa, it's too late. She's already a Bogeris. Since it was written in his Rishus, therefore, it goes to him. Period. There is, again, we don't have time to go into it now, but ksuba, the ksuba in general, if you think about it, it's somewhat unique. You write a ksuba, usually when you write a document and it's done in court, then it's obligated right now. What does the document say? I owe you $100. The document says, I sold this to you. What's a ksuba? Reb Chaim called a ksuba an obligation to obligate yourself. A chov lachov. It's an obligation right now that if something happens, I'm going to obligate myself. That's a very unique type of document. It says Reb Chaim, it's in the Grach HaLashas, in Simen Kuf Chavav. Says Reb Chaim, you know what a chiv ksuba? Who begather chov shel chov. The be'emes nechayiv miyadim nisuin, avol eno chiv mamon, avol chiv shel chov. Va'chiv mamon mamash eno mechayiv. So somewhere it's like this unique type of chiv. So that's how maybe we can have this discussion of Rabbi Yehuda. When does it kick in? Does a ksuba kick in at the wedding? Or does it kick in when the husband divorces her, when he dies? Is a chiv to be mechayiv? So ksuba is this unique type of document that is somewhere in the middle. That's why we have this discussion of Shitas Rabbi Yehuda. So Rabbi Yehuda holds that what? Rabbi Yehuda holds that a ksuba, the original ksuba, goes from the father. Let's at least ask say the next shitos, and we'll ask the question tomorrow. Umigva me'emas gavya. What's the question here? Let's go with Rashi. Find Rabbi Yehuda says that you don't go from Shas Erisin. You go from Shas Ksiva Sa Erisin. But we know there's something called Gvia Milakuchos. Meaning, if I lend you money, Bishtar, and it's in a document, anything I sell, any property of mine that I sell after I owe you money, there's a lien on that property. And ultimately, if I can't pay up, the credit, the one I owe money to, could go to those people that I sold to and collect from them, collect from Lakuchos, because that shibud was earlier. So says the Gemara, Me'emas Gavya. What about in our case? In our case, even Rabbi Yehuda agrees, Shas Ksivas Haksuba is the earliest moment that it starts. What about Lakuchos? Does the issue of Lakuchos start from the Ksivas Haksuba? Or does that go only from marriage? In other words, this woman, when she's going to collect the ksuba later on, and she's going to go to the husband's property to collect, could she go collect from all property that he sold after the ksuba was written? Or maybe only after they were married? That's the question. So, Amar Rav Huna, Mana Masai Mina Erisin, V'Tosefes Mina Nisuim. Rav Huna says, the Iker ksuba Mina Erisin, meaning from Shas Ksiva, and Tosefes, the extra amount is from Mina Nisuin. Because he only added on that extra amount after they're married. Ravasi Amar Echazev Echazev Hanisuin. Ravasi says, no, everything goes min Hanisuin. Period. We'll have to talk about this machlokas more tomorrow. Okay. And then the next three blad are about Inyanim of Motzi Shemra. Told Daf Mevav Mevez, everything about Motzi Shemra that you'd want to know. Okay. Today's shiur was sponsored by Refuah Shleima, Moshe Yosef Ben Kaiser.